All right, everybody, this is Marco Ciappelli. Welcome to the show. Today I am standing, which is kind of new, but I guess my back is asking me to do so for those watching. For those listening, you don't really care what I'm doing. The important is that I have a good conversation, and I'm sure that today is going to be a really good conversation. We're kind of going back to CES, like we didn't talk about that enough in January. And we're actually going to do something that it's not something that we touched on during our coverage, which is talking about the CTA Foundation. And we're going to do that with the executive director of the Consumer Technology Association Foundation, Steve Ewell. It's here with us. And as an Italian, there's a good chance I mispronounce, or maybe not. In any case, welcome to the show, Steve.
That was perfect. And thank you so much for having me, Marco. I'm thrilled to be here. And yes, always happy to talk CES and particularly talk about some of the work that we have going on with the CTA Foundation.
Yeah, well, why don't we just start there? A little introduction about yourself and what the foundation is all about.
Absolutely. So the CTA Foundation is the Consumer Technology Association Foundation, as you mentioned. We are the charitable arm of the Consumer Technology Association. So they are a trade association that represents around 1,300 technology companies and is probably best known for running CES. Well, about 12 years ago, we started this foundation as a way to give back on behalf of the industry. And when we were doing that, we looked around at what topics we should cover. There's a lot of needs out there in the world and a lot of areas that we think that technology can make a big difference in. But two growing demographics that we saw both here in the United States, but also around the world, were older adults and people with disabilities. And we really saw an opportunity for technology to make a difference in those spaces. So our foundation is really focused on building that conversation around how technology can benefit older adults and people with disabilities. We do that throughout the year. Certainly CES is our big stage to call attention to a lot of these issues. And I know we'll get a chance to get into a lot of that. But in addition to that, we do some other activities during the year. You know, I'm a big believer of getting a lot of really smart people in a room from a lot of different backgrounds and having conversations. And it's amazing what can come out of that. So we do those types of activities throughout the year. We do opportunities to engage, you know, startups and other programs that are building the types of technologies that we're looking for. You know, being able to be that recognition of look at some of these cool emerging technologies, but also being that carrot to drive in or attract the companies that maybe are not doing that work yet to help them pay attention to the opportunities to both do good, but also build a business around it. And the last is we are a foundation. We do fund a number of nonprofit organizations all over the country that are using our industry's technologies to help older adults and people with disabilities. So we really see some incredible opportunities here. We see the challenges as well, and that goes to having the conversations. But I really am excited about the types of technologies. And then just to step back as far as, you know, who I am, I'm, as you said, the executive director of that foundation. We are a small but mighty team. There's two and a third of us that are focused on this foundation. But, you know, we have incredible support from both the Consumer Technology Association, many members of the industry, different companies and individuals that are supporting our work and making it possible for us to really engage both the industry, but also the nonprofits and other organizations that are doing such amazing good work in the world.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to make a couple of comments. I mean, one is that during CES, I had the opportunity to talk with Brian Kaminsky, which is the thematic choices director, and it was kind of fun to get into how do you actually pick what are the themes that you're going to go with this year. And of course AI was an easy one, but you know there are many others, as CES touches on pretty much everything. And I started saying after a few conversations that it's not just technology, it's the place where you see the future, and I think you may agree with that. The other thing you said, you like to sit on a room full of smart people. I love to do that and be the dumbest of them. so I can actually learn from them. And I'm going to connect the things with Brian. And what is kind of like the magic formula that make you decide nowadays to go on a certain topic, let's say kind of disability or audience that you want to focus? Because I'm imagining that there is a lot of choice.
Yeah, there's absolutely a lot of choice. And part of the reason we really focused in on both the disability community and the aging community is the demographic shifts that we're seeing. I mean, there are now here in the U.S. more people over the age of 65 than there are under the age of 5. And that's going to, a shift that's going to continue to grow for several years now. And you're looking at, depending on how you define disability, up to 20% of the population has some form of disability. So, we see, these numbers continuing to grow. But we also see the opportunity for technology to make a difference. One of the challenges with that demographic shift is we don't have enough caregivers to take care of us as we're aging. So I'm not a believer in taking the people out of the system. We need those personal connections. But if we don't have enough people to care for us as we're aging, or care for us if we have a disability, whether a temporary disability or a permanent one, technology can be an incredible tool to step in and help in those aspects. And you mentioned, some of the things I'm sure Brian highlighted, some of the themes across certainly AI was massive. But, you look at the smart home technology, you look at the vehicle technology, you look at, pretty much everything across the show has a conversation piece around how is it making a difference in this space. Mm-hmm. So that's why, we used to talk about, okay, we're going to have, accessibility area, the show floor, and we'll stick it, wherever. And then we realized, it's not one piece of CES. It really is a conversation from one side of the show to the next. And that's really what excited me this year, is because we put a ton of programs together at CES, and we try to drive some of these conversations, but it wasn't just us this year. There was, you go to Samsung, you go to LG, you go to, so many different companies across the show floor. We're showcasing the types of technologies and doing it in a, not one little corner of their booth, but, a massive area of, look at the type of accessibility that we're building into our products, because not only is that going to, help, different demographics, but it's really beneficial to so many of us. I mean, how many of us watch things with captions on now, or use other types of solutions if you're, scrolling through social media, but having those captions and descriptions and things like that? It really is beneficial to a massive audience.
And do you feel like, because when I look back, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, or even I can date myself, even 40 years ago, technology was different. The analog piece was limited maybe to more mechanical, and then we got the shift into digital, now AI. And I guess one of the things that is happening now more than ever is the integration of one technology with another that brings you to the next level. I'm thinking, some define that as the fifth or fourth revolution. I think I lost the count on what revolution that's is going to be, but the fact that batteries now can be so small that are also rechargeable, but also much more powerful, that I can power a tech piece that I couldn't even imagine that before. So what's your take on that, as that mixing things together and focusing on disability, which I think it's very, very important?
Yeah, absolutely. And you think about it as, you combine the wearable devices that are out there that so many of us, whether you're just talking about, something you're wearing on your wrist, to your glasses, your earbuds, your other, wearable products, that, smart clothing, things along those lines. But then tie that in with your smart home and your smart city. You're suddenly able to have the technology adapting the environment around you versus you having to fully adapt to the environment. So it's a little bit of that give and take, but you know, being able to say, you know, I like, you know, my house at a certain temperature, and you know, being able to have it adjust and do that in an environmentally friendly way as well, of being able to build some of these rules in, build some of these smarts in. And that's where a lot of this AI and machine learning and other pieces are really tying so many different things together to adapt to our lives. And that's something that we're seeing certainly in the digital health space as well. You know, there's so much information that we're able to collect and share, and also building in that personal control over where's your data going, who are you sharing that with? Do you have the ability to say, yes, I want to share this with my son or daughter. I don't want this necessarily going out to the whole world, though. So being able to grant some of that personal control is also a really critical and important part of this as well.
Yeah, and definitely here you touch into privacy, cybersecurity, talking about healthcare, HIPAA, and all of that. You know, it's you want the technology, but you also kind of want to keep your humanity, your privacy. So let's get to few of those innovation that really, I don't know, blow your mind.
So yeah, I mean, well, one, that's almost asking me to, you know, pick my favorite children.
Oh,
I just love finding all these great technologies. Although I also love going on shows like this and hearing from other people, because you know, that's one of the challenges at CES. I spend way too much time in meetings and talking on panels and things like that, so I don't always get to see all the cool toys. But no, I think there were a few different things that really stood out to me this year. One of which is a big policy area that CTA has been engaged with over the last few years is over-the-counter hearing aids. So you look at the number of people who could use hearing assistance, but you know, just affordability, stigma, other issues along those lines prevent people from going and getting these devices. Well, there were several companies. This is something that, you know, CTA worked to advocate, other partners, you know, AARP and other organizations worked with us. So there was actually a new law that was passed and implemented about a year ago here in the US that allows over-the-counter hearing aids. So we were starting to see more and more companies coming out. So we saw a company called Concha Labs that had created a version. So once again, for people who are, you know, low to moderate hearing loss, this creates a much more affordable solution that they can get access to, get them used to having the opportunity to use hearing assistance, especially maybe they don't need it 24/7, but when you're in that really noisy restaurant and you have no idea what the person across from you is saying, you know, being able to find the right types of technologies that could work in those spaces. Another company that was working in that space, Esleor Luxottica, had come out with their essentially eyeglasses, but they had a hearing aid built into the eyeglasses. So what you're looking at, they're able to, and then, you know, if you don't want to look like you have something in your ears as you're talking to people, it's just built into the eyeglasses, and the audio basically is kind of shot down into your ears. So just different form factors, giving people those kinds of choices and options and what they're building. But I mean, we had everything from, you know, we had robotics that were helping with caregiving. A company called Dreamface out of Colorado was doing that. You know, the winner of our pitch competition, we do a big pitch competition every year at CES. This year was focused on kind of health tech, things that can kind of help people be well. And actually, the winner of that, based on our judges, was a company called Augmental. And they have what looks like a retainer, but essentially it allows you to control your computer or your phone, other different solutions. So they were talking about the opportunities in different types of environments to give people control if they don't have full access to their limbs and other accessibility features along those lines. And then the audience choice winner was this company called Proxy Health that has a really cool technology to help care planning. So essentially, I was talking about earlier the, you know, the lack of the number of caregivers that we have. But then one of the challenges is between those professional caregivers, your family and others, like, how do you pull all that together? And how do you create that kind of plan? So they've got a really cool solution in that place. We actually had a sponsor we worked with called the Patient Safety Technology Challenge that actually also awarded Proxy Health award for their pitch around patient safety and connections. So, you know, there were just so many really cool technologies this year at the show that could really impact the way that we all kind of, I like to say, live, work, and play. You know, I want to be able to live, work, and play as independently as possible for as long as possible. And I think technology is a tool that can help us get there.
Absolutely. And this reconnects to the question that I had at the beginning, which is within the realm of seniors and people with disabilities, when you do the challenge, do you have certain standards that you say, okay, this year we're going to look into companies that are focusing on this particular kind of solution? Or is it open to everything and then is an afterthought to say, all right, of all this variety, what is going on? It's kind of really connected with the thematic. Like, how do you know before where you're going to focus? How do you read the future?
Yeah, well, if I could predict the future, that's one I'm still working on.
There is a technology for that. Come on.
Yeah, we're still working on that one. But it's a mix. So, you know, certainly, you know, things like our pitch competition and other activities like that will pick a theme. So, like I said, this year was healthcare. We've done, you know, social connection. We've done recreation. We've done sports tech. We've done other types of areas that, you know, big broad themes where we can get a variety of different types of technologies together, but looking at some of the trends that we're seeing as an industry, and that's where some of, you know, CTA's market research team and the index team, Brian and his folks, really are doing some incredible work looking at some of the trends that we're seeing across the industry. But we also go out to some of the experts that are out in the nonprofit community and in the service community. So we'll talk to, you know, senior housing communities. We'll talk to the advocate organizations that work with different types of disabilities to see what are some of the trends that they're seeing. What are some of the challenges they're seeing? Because, you know, they're on the ground day to day working on these issues. So they'll be able to bring some of that back to us. That's also something that we think is really important. We bring a number of those advocates to CES so that they are meeting with the companies throughout the week. And we've actually seen opportunities where, especially with some of the startup companies, they'll make tweaks to some of their products based on some of these meetings of, hey, I never thought about if I just made this little tweak here, you know, all of a sudden there's an entire new population that I haven't been able to serve. But, you know, if I'm making my device work really well for them, chances are they're going to be very dedicated consumers to this product. So being able to have people with disabilities at the show, meeting with companies is really important for us as well, because that helps us have a better understanding of where are those challenges, where are those opportunities, and that will shape what we're doing moving forward.
Yeah. Do you guys deal also, I mean, not deal, but do you feel like what you do is also motivating maybe the legislator to look at something that maybe, you know, they could promote from a political perspective, from a government, we connect maybe with smart cities that, you know, oh, we didn't know there was this technology that could do this. It would be great if we implemented in our public facilities, for example. So do you do that connection as well?
So there's a little bit, because we're a charitable foundation, we don't get directly involved with lobbying. But we do help with creating some of the content, creating some of the education sessions, other areas along those lines. Certainly, as I mentioned, you know, CTA is very involved. They do have a lobbying team that's an incredible group that's actively engaged with both, you know, members of Congress and their staffs, with regulatory agencies and others. So, you know, they do a lot of work helping to educate around some of these issues. Yeah. And that leads to some of that work, like the over-the-counter hearing aid act that was able to be passed and create an entire new category of technology that can help to serve the people that we're looking to serve. But we also do, you know, activities throughout the year where, you know, we'll have, you know, we'll engage with other government partners and others to just, you know, raise awareness of, okay, where are some of the challenges? How can we all better work together to create the types of solutions that can best serve the, you know, ultimately my goal is I want consumers to be able to find the right product that is going to help them, you know, as a charitable foundation. I'm not out there, you know, selling any particular product or anything like that. You know, I'm a geek. I love playing with technology. So that's kind of what it drew me to this. But, you know, ultimately what we want to do is help the industry have the best products out there and help consumers become aware of what's out there and, you know, find the types of products that best work for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I usually have this thing when I talk about cybersecurity, about technology as well. It's not just about the blinking light and the funny noises and what is cool or what is possible, right? Okay, we shouldn't just do things because they're possible. We should do it because it improves our lives, our society. And I feel like, you know, obviously, as an organization, as a foundation, that's you don't even have to pretend like, you know, that's your goal. So what do you guys do throughout the year? Are you just preparing for the next CES, or what is that is ongoing? I would love to know a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's amazing how you move from one CES right into planning for the next one. So there is absolutely conversations going on right now about, you know, how can we build off the success of this past one. But we actually move straight into, as I said, we are a grant-making organization. So right now I have 68 proposals from nonprofits all over the country that are sitting on my computer, and I and quite a few of my board members and others are going through and reviewing those. So we will later this spring announce some funding for different nonprofit organizations. So that's kind of my immediate post CES is getting some of these resources out to a wide variety of different organizations. So that's kind of a big piece, but then we'll do other activities. You know, we've held meetings here in DC. We go out to other conferences and conventions to help work with different partners around, you know, continuing to highlight the types of needs that are out there, the types of technologies, build the right types of relationships. And yeah, well, by the time we get midsummer, it's, you know, complete focus on how do we build up towards CES again. The good news is, I mean, this year was just a really incredible show on these issues. So we're already getting, if anything, my biggest challenge now is everyone's coming to us and saying, oh, can we do this and can we do that? And it's like, oh, I would love to do all this. Now I just have to figure out, you know, where to find the time to make all that happen. But that's a good problem to have. I'm happy to deal with that.
It is a good problem to have. And when I was reading the newsletter, that actually then led me to get in touch with you, there was the accessibility roundtable. So you had like this kind of meeting, the pitch competition. I'm kind of scrolling through that, but then you have a couple of tour that you did, I believe, during the event. Anything in particular to talk about in terms of those?
Yeah. So there's kind of, well, actually, there were kind of three tours that we did this year, two of which probably showed up in the newsletter. one of which, it's the first time we've ever done this, we did a media tour. So this was a chance for us to engage the media. You know, our comms team would probably give me a more accurate count, but it was probably, you know, a dozen or so, you know, 15 people maybe of different, you know, different news, you know, both. International, BBC was part of it, quite a few of kind of the US, kind of major brands and others that were part of that group. And, you know, we had a chance to hit some of the, we hit a few startups that were working in the accessibility space, and then we hit some of the larger companies that were working in the accessibility space. And we're able to just give a very high level, we told them right off the bat, we weren't going to hit every accessibility story at the show, but being able to give them a very high level and then allow them to kind of go back and capture some additional stories there. So that was, I thought, a great success for our first time out doing that kind of tour. And I think that's something that I do want to continue to build.
I want to be on forward. It next year. So.
Great. I will make sure we get you there. So we'd love to have you take part in that. And then, you know, the next piece is something that we've been building up for a couple years now, and that is what we call our funders tour. And I started this because, you know, when we started the foundation, I started reaching out to other foundations in the space, and I got a lot of like, what's the technology world doing in aging and disability? So it's been, 12 years or so of working with different foundations and, you know, helping to, you know, share where there's opportunities in this space. So we started doing this tour as an opportunity to bring other foundations in. And, you know, I'm not expecting them to become VCs. They're not investing in the companies, but if they're doing food security or housing security or, you know, you name the charitable program, being aware of what some of the trends are in the technology world that they can get from CES gives them an opportunity to go back and better place their funding so that they can make a bigger difference. Just knowing, you know, what are some of the tools out there that they might be able to use. And then, you know, I also look at it as an opportunity of where are there opportunities for all these foundations to work together. And, you know, rather than have, you know, we're off funding one program and someone else is funding a completely different program and, you know, all with the same goals, where are there opportunities for us to bring that together? And then this year, it used to be called the Grantmakers Tour. We changed it to the Funders Tour because we actually did have several, you know, VCs and other types of funders who are very interested in joining this tour and meeting and seeing some of these same trends. So that's one of the next pieces of conversation that we're having is, you know, between someone who's investing, you know, charitable dollars from a foundation perspective and someone who's a, you know, VC or other investor, you know, they're obviously looking for a return on their funding, but we're all interested in the types of technologies that are working in this space. I don't know that we have an answer for exactly how those relationships can go, but that's something that we had a little bit of a conversation on this year at the show. And then the last piece is we do, you know, all of our grant recipients and others, we had one of our members and supporters offer to do a tour and bring them around the various aspects of the show. So that's something that I think is important for the groups that we support to have an opportunity to be at CES and see some of these trends as well, because it will help with the programs that they're doing. So yeah, the tours are a very important piece for us because it's a way to for us to engage our partners. And that actually leads into the last piece. You mentioned the accessibility roundtable that we do mm-hmm. at CES. And this is something that we've been doing for years and years. It started as probably half a dozen people just sitting on one of those couches in the hall at CES talking about like, what were we seeing around accessibility? And then, you know, this year, I used to always cap this event at 50 people because I felt like, how can you have a conversation with everyone if it's more mm-hmm. even 50 people is a lot of people to have in a room to have a conversation. This year, they talked me into lifting that cap. I capped it at 75, which meant we actually had about 85 to 90 people in the room, all told, because, you know, when you tell people it's sold out and there's a waiting list, they tend to show up anyways and work their way into the room. So it shows the level of interest. And once again, this year, the topic was two topics, really, one of which was AI and accessibility. You know, what are some of the, both the companies and the advocacy organizations, academia, others seeing in this space? And the other was accommodations for people with disabilities in a hybrid workforce. So, you know, a lot of companies have figured out the types of tools that they can provide when you're sitting in an office. They've figured out the tools they can provide when you're sitting at home full-time working, but what happens when you're moving back and forth between those two? So it was an interesting conversation. Once again, I don't know that we've solved these problems yet, but once again, I really love seeing some of the conversation that goes on, seeing the different points of view, because we've really had everything from brand new startups to some of the biggest global brands in the world, to regional nonprofit organizations, big global nonprofit organizations as well, and just a real interesting mix of diverse backgrounds. That I thought it was really interesting conversation, and that's something that we're working on. How do we continue to build off that, bring those interesting people together, and ultimately, I think that's going to help us accomplish our mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of, we may not have the solution, but we're making people think, which is pretty much what I try to do with this show. And I ask some questions, and sometimes we have more than when we started, but that's a good thing. And I love the fact you're putting people together, different foundation together, organization. It comes together to what we talked at the beginning with different kind of technology come together, and all of a sudden what was impossible, now it's possible. Like, and I think as you do that with technologies, you do that with people as well. And you never know what the venture capitalist is going to invest in two companies that he can see that in the future they could bring their force together. And if you guys are there to do this, it's just amazing, especially for disability. So I've started this thing on Redefining Society is the name of the show. I think that redefining technology as a people enabler, it's a great thing, but I would like to know your opinion. If you had to redefine something in our society when it comes to technology, what will be the first thing, that the most important thing that you think we need to kind of change perspective towards?
I think it's that relationship between the people and the technology. You see people who are kind of anti-technology. It's all on, the people, we need to be able to do everything ourselves. You see the people who are automate everything and, the machines will take care of us all in the future. And the answer is really, I think, somewhere in the middle there. Yeah. The technology is an incredible tool, but, people are, we're a social animal. Even me, I'm an introvert. I'm perfectly happy running off into the corner, especially after seeing as many people as I see at CES. But we need that social connection. We need to be able to create these types of connections, and the technology is a tool to help service that. So it's finding that proper balance. So I think that is being able to define how we work together with technology and what areas technology can make a massive difference to us, and what areas we need to stay in control over. I think there's a lot of interesting conversations going on around that, especially given the work that's going on around AI these days. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're going to see a lot of changes in this space, but also a lot of great opportunities as well.
Yeah, and you sum it up perfectly by, you can't be on the extreme. It's no AI. Yes, AI, it's a tool, and we need to, like everything else, right? We need to use it, and at least have guardrail and control it as much as we can, but at least to serve our society. So I completely agree with you. I appreciate you sharing this vision with us and with the audience. And to close, if everybody wants to know more about the foundation and get in touch with you, of course, there will be notes in the podcast. right below, or if you're watching the video in the YouTube channel. And yeah, subscribe, get interested, and keep thinking. That's what I like to say. Steve, so grateful to have you on. And I honestly want to make it next year to see us. And I hope that then we can have also this conversation again and see how much even bigger your events are over there.
Well, Marco, I really appreciate you having me on for this conversation and your work covering these issues. It really is. It's critical to get the messages out there and help share the conversations that are going on. So thank you for your work in that space. And yeah, I can't wait to hopefully see you at CES next year.
I am looking forward and planning on that. And for everybody else, stay tuned, subscribe, and definitely stay curious. This is what we love to see. Take care, everybody. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.